All right, so today is Monday, June the 8th, 1998, and this is an interview with Evelyn Garland. The interviewer is Irma Bryan. Now, Evelyn, my first question is going to be about your family. And where were you born? And when?
I was born in Petersville, Queens County, New Brunswick, on November 4th, 1933.
Now, were you born in a hospital?
No.
No? You were born in a house? Mm-hmm. Do you ever remember your parents talking about, was there a doctor there?
I think so, but I'm not sure. Probably was Dr. McGrand.
Mm-hmm. And where was Dr. McGrand from?
Fredericton Junction. In later years, I guess he had an office in Wellsford for quite a while. Mm-hmm.
So he would have had to travel then, too.
He traveled by horse and wagon, I guess, or by train sometimes.
Right. Okay, now we're going to start by talking about your parents. Mm-hmm. First of all, your mother. What was your mother's full name, including her maiden name?
Mary Teresa Connors.
Mary Teresa Connors. Before I go any further, I've got to back up. I jumped ahead of myself. Can I get your full name?
Evelyn Marie Hogan Connors. Hogan Garland, I'm sorry.
Okay. So you were a Hogan?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't mean to jump back there. So now we're going to talk about your mom, and she was Connors. Mm-hmm. Where was your mother born?
She was born in Petersville, too.
And do you know what year she was born,
she was
or
born
the day?
In March the 19th, 1890.
Okay. And who were her parents?
Her parents were Daniel Connors and Elizabeth Kelly Connors. And she was the oldest of nine children. No, I'm sorry. She was the oldest of the family. Mm-hmm. And she was only 9 years old when her mother died.
Okay.
So she took on the role of...
Mom. Did she ever mention to you what caused her mother's death?
I think it was, they called it consumption then, mm-hmm. probably same as TB or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And do you know where your grandmother is buried?
Yes, she's buried in Petersville.
Mm-hmm. Now, your grandfather Connors, well, maybe we can get the names of your grandmother and grandfather Connors.
Daniel Connors, I don't know his middle name.
That's okay.
And Elizabeth Kelly Connors.
And were they from Petersville as well?
Yes, they were both from Petersville.
Did your mother have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, she did. She had one sister and two brothers that I remember. Mm-hmm. And I think there was another one died in childbirth.
Okay. Are there any names? Can you remember the names?
Yes. Her sister was Margaret Culbert. She was married to Fred Culbert. Mm-hmm. And her brothers were John Connors and Francis Connors, Frank Connors.
Were those boys ever married?
John was married, yes. And he lived in Petersville with his family. Mm-hmm. And Frank was married later in life. He didn't have any family.
Now, was there a Connors homestead where your grandparents lived?
Yes, there was. Mm-hmm.
Do you recall, can you recall who built that homestead? Do you ever remember your mother talking about her father possibly building it?
Well, there were two houses on the property. There was an old house and a newer house that my grandfather built himself. And the older property, I'm not sure what happened to it, whether it burned or why he built the newer house, but he built it a little closer to the highway. Mm-hmm.
Did your grandfather Connors ever remarry?
No.
Do you have any memories of your grandfather Connors at all?
Yes, he's the only one of the grandparents that I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of things do you remember?
Well, I remember that he had lost part of his leg in an accident. I'm not just sure how it was, whether it was a mill accident or something, but he always had a wooden leg and he was on crutches.
Wow. So, well, that must have been a sight.
Yes.
You know. Did he get around quite well? Can you remember?
Oh, very well, yes. Yeah, he was an older man. He was up in his 80s when he died, and I was probably 12 or 13 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to spend the summers in Petersville in his later years at his own home. He lived alone. And then in the winter, he went down to Wellsford and lived with Frank.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For a while in the winter time when it was really bad. But in the summer when he came home, he spent his whole summer cutting bushes and pulling out weeds. And he had a farm which is just a couple places below the cemetery in Petersville, if you know where mm-hmm. that is. And when he lived there, there wasn't an alder bush or a tree
oh, really?
Ever dared grow on that property.
He would cut it down?
He would crawl around on his knees all summer.
Oh, my goodness. And, isn't that something?
And,
did he
know,
do much work?
Pull out bushes. This was his big thing when in his later years, after he was, you know, the family was gone and he was mm-hmm. alone. And mm-hmm. he didn't want the farm to grow up. So mm-hmm. that is...
Can you remember him other than being elderly?
No. No, he was always... I was only about 12 years old when he died,
yeah.
I suppose. For those 12 years, he always was on crutches, mm-hmm. and he always lived alone. Mm-hmm. And he did have a housekeeper, a few housekeepers that I do remember.
Do you remember the names of any of the housekeepers?
There was a Mrs. Gamblin and a Mrs. Young. Those are the two that mm-hmm. I remember. There may have been others. But my mother used to sort of keep in touch like every night with him.
Mm-hmm.
And my brothers went over practically every night and they took him
mm-hmm.
milk or the paper or something from the store or something like that.
So and did you did you grow up very far away from this where he lived then?
Probably, might have been 2 miles, mile and a half maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing that I remember he always sent to the store for was 2 loaves of bread and a package of pickaback.
A package of tobacco?
Yes, he smoked a pipe all the time.
Yeah.
And that was the big thing.
So what did you call that?
Pickleback.
Pickleback.
Yeah, I think it was P-I-C-O-B-A-C, I think it was spelled.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
But that was... And if I remember correctly, I think he used to give them a quarter to buy that with. You know, that was usually his usual order every week was 2 loaves of bread and a package of tobacco.
Oh my goodness, isn't that? Now that tobacco would that have been specifically for a pipe? I wonder. Or
it was pipe tobacco.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, definitely. And Frank used to bring his groceries from Wellsford, like his main things. But
yes.
And Mom used to send him over a bottle of milk. So.
So he was well taken care of.
He was well taken care of.
So did he lived in that house then alone, other than having the housekeepers come in?
Yeah, he lived there alone for quite a few years.
Yeah, isn't that great?
And
whatever happened to the farm?
Well, it was. After he died, it was just vacant mm-hmm. He died in 1947 or 48. And so it wasn't too long before the mm-hmm. became a military base.
Yes.
And his son's family, John Connor's family, were living right next door to it. And so they sort of
mm-hmm.
were back and forth, but it was vacant. The house was vacant.
Yes. Now, we'll talk a little bit about...
One thing else that I remember about him that was kind of different. He always, when we went there as kids, he always kept hard candy in his bed, you know, in the drawer in the bedroom.
Yes.
And he used to go in on the crutches, and he'd bring out a little bag of candy, and he'd put it in piles on the table. And then he'd sit down, and you didn't dare go to touch that until he told you to, you know. You didn't just run and grab it like a lot of kids would today, but you had to sit.
Wow.
But yeah, he told you, and then it was okay for you to get it.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your mother.
Mm-hmm.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I am the youngest of 10. I had 6 brothers and 3 sisters.
Now,
there are 5 of them have passed away.
Mm-hmm. That's a big family.
Yes.
Do you think that I can get the names of them?
Yeah, I have them right here.
Good. And you can just start in the order that you've got them written.
Read the names right off, eh?
Yeah, that'll be fine, just to get the names off and where they were born and when they were born. Mm-hmm. Boys, those are wonderful records.
Mary Gertrude, born in Petersville on October 4th, 1914. And she was married to George Joseph Breen on June the 26th, 1944.
Great.
John Joseph Hogan, born in Petersville on August 7th, 1916. He passed away on December the 3rd, 1991. And he was married to Mary Evelyn Hill on June the 26th, 1947. William Lewis Hogan, born in Petersville on June the 19th, 1918, he is married to Edna Rita Logue on July the 12th, 1958. And his wife has passed away 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Daniel Edward Hogan, born in Petersville on April 17th, 1920. He was not married, and he lives in Westfield.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret Elizabeth Hogan, born in Petersville on July the 18th, 1921. She passed away on January the 20th, 1976, and is buried at Westfield. Ethel Teresa Hogan, born in Petersville on January 31st, 1923. She passed away on January 17th, 1998, and she's buried in St. Joseph's Cemetery in St. John, New Brunswick. She belonged to the Sisters of Charity of the Immaculate Conception.
Mm-hmm.
James Arthur Hogan, born in Petersville on January 21st, 1923, passed away on January the 9th, 1986, and is buried at Westfield. Francis Michael Hogan, born in Petersville on April 8th, 1927, married to Evelyn Stairs Ingram on July the 31st, 1971. Thomas Leo Hogan, born in Petersville, November the 30th, 1930, passed away February 17th, 1990, buried in St. Joseph's Cemetery, St. John, New Brunswick, and he was married to Mary Duffy on May the 18th, 1954. And Evelyn Marie Hogan, born in Petersville, November the 4th, 1933, married to Roy Norman Garland on November 6th, 1971.
Wow, those are wonderful records. Just terrific records. Now, what kind of person was your mom? She was obviously busy with 10 kids running around the house.
Yes, she certainly was busy. She was a good worker.
Did she ever work outside the house?
No.
Was that something that was done?
No, that wasn't done in those days. And besides, with 10 kids, plus all the relatives that visited.
I don't know where she had the time.
She didn't have too much time for that. But she was, well, I mean, what do you say about your mother?
Well, is there something that she used to do for the kids that was a real treat? For instance, did she ever make a treat, or make a treat?
Well, she cooked, she baked a lot. She certainly baked a lot of cookies. She made homemade bread every day, probably, for most of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we had, I guess, treats at Christmas and Easter and special, you know, birthdays, mm-hmm. birthday cakes and...
Mm-hmm.
But I think there wasn't a lot of time or money in that. When I was growing up, because I was born right in the middle of the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do you ever remember your mother going out to meetings?
Yes, she went. She belonged to the CWL.
Yes.
Catholic Women's League, and she went. They had a meeting every week, every month, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And she was quite involved with the church, anything that was going on there.
Mm-hmm. So
Petersville was predominantly Catholic, compared to in Enniskillen, compared to the other communities were more. They were Protestant mainly, I think.
You're the first person I've spoken to in the project that has mentioned a church other than Baptist or United.
Yes, the Roman Catholic Church was the only one in Petersville.
Mm-hmm.
And it served in Enniskillen, too.
Oh, okay.
There was no other church there, but in the other communities, they were... You know, different faiths, Anglican,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
And so, can you remember the name of the minister? Or the priest that, or a priest that may have been in your church when you went?
Well, the first one that I remember was Father Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was moved to Fredericton in 1943. And he came just around the same time... that I was born, because he baptized me, and at the time the church had burned, the church in Petersville, and they were using the hall for a church, so mm-hmm. I was baptized in a hall.
So now was the church rebuilt?
Oh yes, it was rebuilt. In fact, this is...
So now we were talking about the Catholic Church, and you were telling me a bit about the priests that mm-hmm. served there. What about regular service? Did you have regular service?
Yes, we had regular service every Sunday
mm-hmm.
and through the week too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. At that time, and because the priest lived right there beside the church, so we had Mass every morning. But he also served the missions of Frederick Junction or Mukto and Gagetown.
Mm-hmm.
So they traveled. And they usually went to Oromocto one Sunday, Frederick Junction the next, and Gagetown the next. So those places usually only had service once a month.
Oh.
So we were right in the metropolis.
Now, did you usually have service? Was it a morning service or afternoon?
Yes, morning. Morning.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I think 8 or 9 o'clock. And then the priest traveled in the early days, by horse and wagon to Fredericton,
mm-hmm.
Gagetown.
Was Sunday mm-hmm. your predominantly family day?
Yes.
Like after church, mm-hmm. would you have done family things?
Well, yes. Usually it meant having company.
Oh, who'd you have for company?
Well, all the relatives from St. John. We always had cousins coming and going. And my father had 3 sisters in St. John, and they all had big families, and they all lived to come to the country on the weekends or in the summer and the holidays.
Yes. Oh, that would have been special.
So.
Let's talk just a little bit about your dad's family. Who were his parents?
His parents were William Lewis Hogan.
And when do you know when
he was born? I'm not sure of that. No.
Okay.
No.
What about your dad's mother?
His mother was Margaret MacDonald Hogan, and she was born in Wellington, Prince Edward Island. And they were married on January the 13th, 1876.
Do you know where your father's father's family was from? Your grandparents Hogan.
Grandparents Hogan.
Where were they from?
My great grandfather came from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what place in Ireland, but
definitely from Ireland.
He came from Ireland, and my father always said that there were seven brothers, and when they came to St. John, some of them stayed in that area, and some of them went up to Miramichi. So the Hogans in Chatham were related to us, like they were cousins of his.
Well,
but we've never really, you know, kept in contact with them at all.
So your father would have been born and raised in Petersburg?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And was he born in the
same house?
In the same house. Mm-hmm. So now the house that you grew up in, was that the Hogan house?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. So that must have really had some special meaning then to at least your dad.
Yes, it did.
Did he ever talk about who built the house or something?
Not that I recall, no.
Mm-hmm.
In those years I wasn't
that
interested probably in who built it.
That's right.
So.
Now I'm just looking actually at the picture of your house, and it's got an addition built on the side.
Yes.
What was that?
That was kitchen part.
Mm-hmm. Was that something that had been added onto the house, or was that built? Or do you may not know.
I'm not sure, no.
And you've got beautiful windows in the house. If I was looking out those windows, or if I opened the front door, what would I have looked at out?
Well, the highway, the main road from St. John to Fredericton went right by there.
Oh.
And
were you back off the road much?
Not very far. No, probably about as far as from the street here back to that fence.
Yeah. What about outbuildings? Did you have
any? Oh, yeah, we had barns because we had horses and cows and pigs and chickens. And we also had a woodshed and a garage. He had a truck in later years. He hauled wood. He was a wood dealer.
Yes.
Along with being a farmer in his younger years, they got into the wood business during the Second World War when there was a shortage of wood in the city, and, you know, they used to haul firewood into St. John.
Really?
A lot of people used wood furnaces then.
Uh-huh. Well, I see that there are three chimneys.
Yeah, we had three stoves, the range in the kitchen, plus two little heaters in the other rooms.
Wow. And would they have gone all day on cold days?
One of them, the kitchen range and the one closest to it would have gone all day.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one was just more or less on special occasions or when it was really cold.
Oh.
That was the parlor.
I was going to ask you if you had a parlor in your house. Now, were the kids allowed to play in the parlor?
Not very often, no.
What would have let you go? What would have been the occasion to have you go in?
Well, when there was company or something special going on, or when my grandfather died, he was laid out in the parlor.
Well, that was customary, wasn't it?
My aunt broke her hip, and she was had a bed set up there, and she was there.
Well,
she got better. Okay, it's just like that.
Boy.
House cleaning time.
Oh, goodness. Now, I think it wasn't it customary, though, at burials to have most of the visiting happen right at the house, wasn't
it? Yes. Everybody came, and they used to sit up all night, and they always brought a lot of food, and so there was always...
For 10 kids, they'd have to. Oh, goodness.
But they, you know, brought extra food, and they I guess, expected a lunch, and so mm-hmm. they would eat and yeah. talk all night, and that was the custom.
Now, earlier you mentioned that you didn't really know your other grandparents. Were your grandparents Hogan living when you were born?
My grandmother Hogan was I was a year old when she died.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't remember
mm-hmm.
how
yeah.
she lived there. They kept a post office at one time.
In that house where you grew up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Now that would have been interesting. It was the grandparents that kept the post office, rather?
Yes. Hmm. And my grandmother had it, like, you know, after my grandfather died, she continued with it, and mm-hmm. my mother helped her with it. I'm not just sure how the mail got there. It would have had to come by train to either Enniskillen or Wellsford, and then come by horse and wagon from there. And then they sorted it there, and I guess whoever was the mailman came and picked it up and delivered it.
That's quite a job. That's a large area.
Yes. Well, if it was just for the Petersfield Enniskillen area, that mm-hmm. one. You know.
Mm-hmm. Now, actually, your house looked like it looked like it didn't have a lot of bedrooms.
There were two bedrooms downstairs behind those two mm-hmm. main rooms there. There was one big room on either side of the front door, and then there was a bedroom behind each.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I guess there was two bedrooms behind one room, but we used it as a pantry in later years.
Oh, yes.
It had been a bedroom. And then upstairs there were two quite large bedrooms.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you remember a time when all of the kids were home? Or were the years past enough that...
Not really. When I, as far back as I can remember, there was usually somebody away. My older sisters always worked. They did housework for quite a few years. And so they worked in St. John or down Westfield Way, somewhere down that area.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest brother, John, was away. He worked at Wellsford quite a while before he went in the Air Force during the war and was overseas.
What did he do in Wellsford?
He worked at mechanics.
Oh.
At Bernie O'Donnell's garage there.
Mm-hmm.
Wellsford.
And so did he go away to the Second World War?
Yes. He went overseas in 1939, and he was gone until 1945.
Goodness.
So,
what can you remember about the war? Can you remember, for instance, anybody in the Petersville area putting together care packages?
Oh, yes. That was every month or so. They all the guys from around there, you know, received a package or were sent a package.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Mom used to pack boxes for John. She'd make fruitcakes or molasses cakes or war cake or whatever they called it, and cookies and chocolate bars, cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
and I think toothpaste and things like that, toothbrush or something.
Cost a fortune to mail that these days.
Oh, yes. Yes, it would.
Well, I'm sure it was expensive then.
Then I think at Christmas or a special occasion, say, some of the community, like the CWL or some group like that, mm-hmm. would send packages to them. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, I remember getting letters from them. In fact, I think I have a letter there from John when he was overseas. I'll show it to you. And the times I remember my mother and father getting letters that would have a section all blacked out with a marker.
Oh, you're kidding!
Because it was something that they weren't supposed to tell, because everything was top secret, of course.
So
coming from overseas, like, I mean, he wouldn't be allowed to say where he was or what they were doing in that area or anything like that. I mean, it's just RCAF overseas.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
He was in England all the time. But
did you, now, when you were, could you write to him?
Yes.
Because all this really says is just overseas.
Overseas, yeah. And they had their number. That's how they located them.
And oh, the, for and heaven's sake!
Air Force squadron that he was with.
Well,
but so, most letters like that came, they had been opened, you know, mm-hmm. by inspectors. And,
well, I've noticed how that's got that stamp on it that says "and opened by examiner 7990. So what kind of things did he write to your parents?
Well, usually just about what they had done or who he had talked to or just general, you know.
Yes.
Couldn't say where he was or what they were doing. Or
I see here he must have come close because it talks about how he wants to go fishing and then he talks about the daylight savings time.
Yes.
And I suppose if he had given much more information, you may not have been able to read that.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? How old would your brother have been here? This was 1942. And
he was born 1916, so he would have been
26.
Yeah.
So that's quite mature.
Yes. Yes. Probably older than something? A lot of the guys that were. But from time to time, he would meet somebody else from Petersville or from Wellsford, or mm-hmm. you know that he. He would mention that they had met at a, you know, a bar or something, I suppose, mm-hmm. wherever they got together.
Yeah. Do you remember the day he came home from
yes.
war?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was when, in 1945?
1945. Uh-huh. I think it was May the 8th.
Oh.
It was either May the 1st or May the 8th. I guess maybe it may have been May the 1st because I think May the 8th was VE Day, wasn't it? It was just shortly before that.
So he yeah. did come home before the VE Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, where yeah. would he have come into? Where did you have to meet him somewhere?
He came to St. John. I guess he had written and said that he was coming, but other than that, they didn't know when or where.
Oh.
And he came to St. John, and then he borrowed his friend's car and drove home.
Oh boy.
And he came like in the evening.
Yes.
And I think he brought my sister up from St. John with him.
And was that the sister that was down with the what sister would that have been?
That's the one that passed away this winter, Ethel.
And she was down with the sisters.
Yes. Well, she wasn't at that time. She was a nurse in St. John.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But he came, and my father was away at the time. And when he come home, somebody went out and told him that there was somebody in the house to see him.
No.
And he came in, and he said hello. You know, he didn't realize who it was.
He hasn't said 6 years.
Yeah. You know. So it took him a while to look again and see who it was.
Yeah.
He was quite surprised.
Now, did your brother stay there with you in Petersville for a while, or did he go back to St. John?
Oh, he went back to St. John. He stayed while he was on leave, but
yes.
then he went to St. John and got work and
yes.
stayed
yeah.
in St. John after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the Depression? You wouldn't have been very old.
I don't remember too much about it other than the fact that I guess we didn't have a lot, but nobody had at that time, so didn't realize it. I mean, you got a lead pencil or a new scribbler or something, that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I suppose when you look at it, where you weren't living in the city, so, I mean, you had your milk and you had...
We had all our food, garden supplies, and Mama always made pickles and jam and preserves. And,
right.
And we had all vegetables, potatoes and turnips and carrots and everything all winter, yeah. and meat.
But it would have been the extras, just, eh?
Yes, wow. Yes.
Anything that you could have made.
I remember we never saw bananas for many years, or dates, or anything like that.
Goodness.
I remember some of the other kids, their father worked in St. John to Winterport, and apparently he got some bananas.
That must have been a sight.
I remember seeing them bringing them in their lunch to school. You know, that was a real treat.
I guess it must have been. My goodness.
And, I remember when we first got dates again, my sister making date squares. And I remember, like a lot of things was rationed, you know, tea.
Yes.
And sugar and all that stuff. We had ration coupons. Everybody had a ration, a book with little coupons in it.
Yeah.
Have you come across any of those?
Oh, yes. Came across some this morning.
Is that right?
Yes. Now, those particular ration coupons had been issued from Hampstead. Can you recall where your ration coupons may have been issued from? Like, how'd your mom get the coupons?
I'm not sure if they came from Wellsford or just how they came. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Now, you said that your father was away. Did he go away?
No, in early years, he used to go and work in the woods in Maine all winter, like a lot of the men did.
Mm-hmm.
They'd go in the fall and come back in the spring. But when I was growing up, he had the farm in Petersville. He worked it. And then as the boys got older, they got involved in the woods. And they cut firewood and pulpwood and weir poles and pit props and all those things that they cut in the woods. And then he bought a truck, and they used to haul it to St. John. For many years, he hired a truck and had somebody else haul the wood to St. John. And then finally he got rich, I guess, and bought a truck. He had it for quite a few years.
Now, that he must have been, one of the few people around to have a truck like that.
Yes, there weren't too many at that time.
Yeah.
There were getting to be quite a few cars. Like after the war, when there was more money available and everything, I think people were starting to get cars a few more extras like that they didn't have for many years.
Yeah. Huh.
But in those days, when you lived in the country and you had your own food, and everybody was in the same boat. They didn't have a lot of things, so you didn't see Nike or Adidas or all these things that you look for today.
I bet you didn't. No, I bet you didn't. Not at all. Now, can you recall your father talking about his parents at all? Any memories he might have had? Any stories he might have told about them?
Not really. I remember he and my uncle talking a lot about, things that happened, but if we had had a tape recorder then we would have had quite
great
a record,
story.
But they used to sit and talk over old times and experiences in the woods and ghost stories and all this sort of thing, but...
Ghost stories.
I'm sure my sister probably would remember some of that.
Actually, was there ever a house around when you were a child that the kids teased that was the haunted house? Or, you know how older children make up stories just to scare little children?
Well, my father and my uncle used to talk about houses that, they'd see a fire burning in the night and all this thing.
So they'd see a fire burning in it, but there'd be nobody there?
But the only one that I really remember was the house that was called the Halfway House.
Mm-hmm.
It was the O'Donnell family that lived there, and it was the house where the stagecoaches used to stop, coming from St. John to change horses.
So that was the halfway point, was it? Is that what it was called, maybe?
Petersville was about halfway between St. John and Fredericton, so That's what they called that house, and they always said, or I always heard, that somebody had been murdered in the house, and that there was blood that used to appear on the cellar steps. There was, I guess, a room in the basement where they used to keep prisoners or something, and then in later years they said that they would scrub the stairs clean, and then the next day there'd be blood appear on the stairs again. No. I don't know how true
well,
that
was. That's quite a scary one for goodness. What about stores in your area, like in Petersville? Was there a main road in Petersville?
Yeah, the Route 7, which is still there, was the main road then.
Now, if I had walked out of your house and looked up Route 7, would I have seen any stores or anything?
Yes, you'd have seen... when I was growing up, there were two stores right hand. The other Hogan family, who lived right next door to us, they had a store, a general store. Mm-hmm. And then next place to them, O'Neill's, they had a store.
Mm-hmm.
And then in later years, there was the third store down in the other direction.
It started out
as a cooperative store.
Okay.
And it was in Father Boyd's time he started this cooperative and had a credit union for a short time. And then it was the one that survived until the military came.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things can you remember at some of the stores? What's one of your earliest memories of a store?
Maybe. Well, there was just everything that you wanted to find there. I guess my most vivid memories probably are going for a box of yeast cakes, Royal yeast cakes for making bread. I think they were 10 cents a box, and there was probably five or six little square cakes in the box.
Right.
But I know that I used to go to Hogan's store to get them, but if I had any extra money of my own, I'd try to get to O'Neill's store on the same trip to buy. They used to have crayons and pencils and erasers and all this type of thing that I think they had more things to attract kids probably than the other store. So
it also sounds like things though that you wouldn't buy normally, like with it would only be something with extra money.
Yeah, it was just if I could manage.
Yeah. Let's talk about Christmas.
Extra.
Let's talk about Christmas in the Hogan family when you had children home and you were young. And did you have your Christmas tree in your parlor?
No, our Christmas tree was usually in that middle room. That was the room where we congregated most of the time.
Yes.
But it was never put up until after we went to bed. It wasn't up and decorated 2 weeks in advance like it is now.
Yes.
You know?
So you'd go to bed and there'd be no tree.
That's right. And the next one, the tree was up and decorated and all the presents under it.
Isn't that nice?
Santa Claus had come.
I guess.
So it was a big surprise then. You know, I mean, we always hung up our stockings. And in their stockings then we got an apple and an orange and candy, barley toys and ribbon candy. Nothing like you get now in a stocking. I mean, you get all kinds of little knickknacks and things, but it was more treats in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what kind of things would be on the tree for decorations?
Well, they used popcorn and cranberries. But we had, in my day, they had more like glass ornaments and those fancy ornaments.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything that you put on your tree that your parents had mentioned was something that had been passed down for generations? Or was that something that wasn't done?
Well, they never really mentioned it as such, but I'm sure there were a lot of the ornaments that had been passed down for generations and years and years and years because they were old.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the, we had garland that was made out of paper, I guess, red and green paper. That was quite old, remember?
Yes.
And we put on icicles, of course. It was the kind that The real nice ones that used to hang straight, they weren't flying all the
yes.
time.
Now, what about Christmas Day? Would you have church service on Christmas Day?
We usually have midnight mass.
Okay.
And on Christmas Eve. And then we went to that and come home and had lunch and went to bed, and then Santa Claus came.
Santa must have worked into the night then to put the tree up.
Yeah, that meant that they didn't, my mother and father probably never went to bed.
Well, I don't know how they could have. Either that or you heard an awful lot of construction.
No, we didn't hear too much of anything.
Isn't that something?
Had to go to bed and wait.
When you were a little child, where was the storage in your house? Did you have an attic?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We had an attic up over the kitchen part.
Yes.
And we had an attic up over the rest of, there was a smaller attic up over the mm-hmm. rest of the house.
And that's where you'd store things.
Yeah.
Store things in it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about school. What school did you attend out in Petersville?
I went to Petersville School. It was one room school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Welsford to high school, grade mm-hmm. 9, 10, and 11. And it was also a one room school. And they've both disappeared in the meantime.
Can you remember the names of any of your teachers in Petersville?
Oh, yes. I know all my teachers, I think. My first one was Miss Morris, Theodore Morris. And I had her for the first 4 years, I guess, from grade 1 to 4. And I had Dean Riley in grade 5, and Madeline Boyd in grade 6 and 7. And then grade 8 was kind of a disaster. Teachers were scarce. I had Miss Vautour from St. John for a couple months, and then she left. I guess she didn't like it. She was a local licensed teacher. She mm-hmm. didn't have her
so she hadn't gone to normal school.
Right. And then one of the neighbors, Mrs. Breeden, took over for a few months, but she took sick. So that was my year in grade 8, so I didn't finish grade 8 that year. I stayed and repeated it next year with Isabel Cavanaugh. And then I went to Welsford, and I had Mrs. Davis for 3 years mm-hmm. in one-room school.
Now, that must have been kind of unique. Or was it unique for somebody to be able to obtain education past the grade 8, on the which was offered in the local area?
Yes, it was. There weren't too many, you know, before me who had gone.
Yes.
The odd one had gone on to high school, but
yes.
It wasn't the normal thing. A lot of the men or boys went to work after grade 8, and the girls, I guess, went to do housework or got married or some whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, you know, everybody didn't go to high school.
Yes. What did you do after you were done in Welsford in school?
I went to normal school and I was a teacher.
Oh, yes. And where did you teach at?
I taught my first year outside of Chipman at Red Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year I was in McAdam, and then I was in St. John for 3 years, and then I came to Ormondo
mm-hmm.
for the next 30 years. I retired in 1987, mm. 35 years.
Now, with your parents, when did your mom and dad pass away?
My dad passed away in 1961.
Yes.
And my mother passed away in 1984.
Okay. Where did they live on the land until the time of expropriation?
Yes.
Now, where did they move to after that?
They moved down to Westfield.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times that your father had a brother down there in Westfield, or was it a son?
Son.
Okay.
Yeah, I have two brothers that live at Westfield.
Okay.
Still.
Did they move near those brothers?
Well, they were living at home still at the time, and mm-hmm. then one of them never got married, and the other one is married and has a house close by.
Mm-hmm. And so I was going to ask, you know, whatever made their decision, how they make their decision to go there, but I think it must have been family. How your father ever made a decision and mother to go to Welsford?
Well, it was quite a a big decision for them, because after living, being born and brought up, my father had been born and brought up there, and, mm-hmm. and he looked around a lot of different places at different houses and everything, and finally he bought a small house down there, and with 2 acres of ground. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what his plan was, whether to enlarge the house or what, but he rented it to another couple from Clonus, mm-hmm. and he built a house beside it. And the other couple lived there for quite a few years, and then they finally
yes.
moved into St. John and passed away. And
mm-hmm. Now, what about mail delivery? Can you remember ever seeing the mailman come?
Oh, yes. My first memories are of coming in horse and wagon, or horse and buggy, or horse and sleigh in the wintertime. And
do you remember
putting the mail in the mailbox.
Do you remember his name at all?
Yes, the first mailman I remember was Dan Butler. But there were others before that.
Yes.
And then the McCanns, Barry McCann and Ralph McCann, delivered mail.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronnie Butler, too. They had a car in the later years. Mm-hmm. They delivered it.
Now, what kind of things would you get in the mail? Did you get the junk mail like we get today?
No, not the junk mail. Not so much junk mail, but we always got the daily newspaper.
Yes.
Telegraph Journal. And my mother wrote a lot of letters. She was always writing to relatives. And we had cousins in St. John and in Boston area, so she was always writing and getting letters back and forth from them and sending orders to Eaton's and Simpson's. And
do you ever remember having visitors come from the Boston area?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, I had my mother's cousins used to come, and their families came right up until, well, even after we moved to Westfield, some of them came.
Do you ever recall them bringing anything special to you from Boston or to your mother?
Hand-me-down clothes.
Mm-hmm. That'd be neat, because nobody in the community would have seen them yet.
That's right, yeah. We always got boxes from, box from Boston, we called it. It wasn't really, it was Medford or Cambridge or somewhere in that area, but they always sent their hand-me-downs.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes her cousin that used to come to visit would make me a new dress.
Well, now you being the youngest in the family, that was probably rare, because there was an awful lot of people before you to hand things down.
That's right, yeah. That was a special occasion.
Now, what about your neighbors? Can you remember the names, even just the family names, of some of the people who lived around you in Peters?
Oh, yeah, I remember most of the people who were there in the, before the military took over.
Yeah.
There was Muldoon's and O'Rourke's and McGuire's, Owens, Henderson, Breen, McDevitt's, McCarthy's, Connors, Logue's, Barry's, O'Neill's, Donovan's, Simpsons, Harkins, O'Donnell, Colbert, Butler's, I guess the majority anyway, mm-hmm. There's probably others.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember a toy that you had when you were growing up? That you might have played with a lot or lugged around everywhere?
Well, dolls, mostly. I always had dolls.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any one that might have... Is there any one toy or doll that may have been...
Well, I had one that a lady gave me one time that had eyes that opened and closed.
Oh, that would
have been... That was kind of special. I guess I shook it too much, and the eyes fell back in the head eventually.
Well, that was you had to use them.
No, there was no one in particular. I think I probably always got one every year, Christmas or something. Mm-hmm. So there was none that stood out in my mind particularly. Used to make doll clothes and doll quilts, and then I tried to get the cats to be dolls. And
speaking about cats, can you remember a pet that you had?
Well, we always had cats around, and they were in the house probably in the daytime, but they were never in at night. They were always out in the barn or something at night, and so they weren't real pets, I suppose. They were more just farm cats.
Mm-hmm. But not pets like we know them today.
No, I don't think so, no. We didn't pamper them like they do today.
Yeah.
But we always had a dog, too. I think probably the dog was more of a pet than the cats.
Mm-hmm. What about some rivers and streams? Did you ever go fishing
in that area? A little bit, but not very much. And some of the little brooks that are probably dried up now.
Mm-hmm.
But there were quite a few little brooks around. And
Was there a place in the summertime the kids would call their swimming hole?
They had one. I don't remember too much about it, but in earlier years they had what they called, there was a brook that they had dammed up. They called it the dam.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to swim there.
Mm-hmm. What about pastimes for children? I mean, a family with 10 children, what kind of things were there to do in the community or in the area other than your chores?
Mainly.
Was there a community hall?
Oh yes, we had a community hall, and they had, well, for years they always had a dance every week, and I think a lot of the young people went, you know, maybe they went at all ages, because the older people went and got the lunch and sort of looked after it, and they, you know, there was, it wasn't just for young adults, it was probably for older children plus their parents too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the Petersville picnic every year.
Oh yeah.
That was a big occasion.
When would that be held?
Usually about the second week of August, and that was quite a big event. They came from far and wide for that. And they had dinner, so for many years they had a dinner at noon, then they had the supper in the evening too, and they had games, bingo, and all those games that they have at outdoor carnivals and things, and had ice cream and pop, 5 cents a cone and 5 cents a bottle for pop. Big deal. We didn't get a lot of ice cream and pop in those days.
I bet you didn't.
And then in the fall they had the harvest supper too. It was always in October after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
All the vegetables were good.
And plentiful.
That was a turkey, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, did you have, to, I thought to ask when I was talking about Christmas, did you have turkeys at Christmas time? Or chickens?
We usually had chickens.
Yeah.
Or sometimes a goose or a duck.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well that's going to be just wonderful to do that.